And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. We're part of the Athletic Podcast Network. Go to theathletic.com/downtodunk to get The Athletic for $3.99 a month. It's Lottery Eve, Mikele. It's a big day, and my little two-year-old is in here. He's in the room. He wants to be on the podcast. What do you need?
Nothing.
Okay, see you later. Big day. Big day here in Oklahoma City and for all Thunder fans, because tomorrow is the draft lottery. And if you are in OKC, which, Mikele, I'm so sad that you're not here with us, you can come to the Mule in Edmond, 16 South Broadway in Edmond, Oklahoma, and join us for our NBA lottery party. So come 6:30. We'll be there a little earlier, just setting up, but feel free to come whenever. Get a table and come get some food. The food is delicious. Really, anything you get there is great. I recommend anytime they have a seasonal side, I always get it. It's always very good. The French fries are good too. They've got little onion rings too, which are delightful. And then any sandwich. I recommend the Macaroni Pony or the BCLT. Those are my two favorites. Both just can't miss sandwiches. So check that out. And then also, I had the good people at Frenzy Brewing hit me up last night. And they are directly across the street in downtown Edmond from the Mule. And they have offered their tap room as like an overflow space for people. If there's not enough room, or if you don't have a table or whatever it is, you can still order food and you can then head over to Frenzy and hang out there. They are offering $1 off pours with a discount code if you order at the Mule to go. So it's a great opportunity to hang out over there too. They'll have TVs and stuff with the lottery on as well. So if you get there to the Mule and things are just too crazy, I don't really know what to expect, to be honest. But if things are too crazy, you can head to Frenzy. And then when it's time for our live pod, you guys can all crowd back into the Mule. So there's that. It should be a fun night. I cannot wait to see everybody. I cannot wait to actually have a live event again. It's just I'm very thankful and very excited to get things kind of back going. Mikele, how are you feeling? I guess that's the number one thing right now, is how are you feeling about this lottery tomorrow?
Oh, about the lottery, we'll talk later. I feel terrible because...
Oh, no.
Wait a second. I have the mic completely turned. Okay, now should be better.
Oh, there we go. Much better. Yes.
I'm miffed and peeved because I cannot try the grilled cheese. You know how much I love cheese, how much I don't love bad cheese, and I expect the meal to be great. So
they use good cheese. I guarantee you that. My cousin is actually the owner of the Mule, and it's like long story short, like my cousin Joey and his friends own this restaurant group, and so we've worked together on stuff for years now. And he was like my very best friend since I was like a little kid. So it's pretty cool that we can get to kind of reconnect on this kind of stuff. And fact is, Joey would never use crap cheese. So he's going to use the good stuff. So one of these days we'll get you over here to use it.
I can make a tasting and grade. And then I'll have like proper grades for cheese for an American podcast.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, back to the lottery. I don't really know what to expect. I'm calm. I'm normally calm on things where I absolutely don't have any control of.
There's no control.
But it's so important for OKC. Like
it is. It's very important.
Yeah, it's something that can really change the outlook of the next, not sure of the next 10 years, because you never know what happens. Like in 2022, like luck can break your way. Like you can get like an okay season and still get number one pick because of like pure luck.
Bulls did it with Derrick Rose. Yeah,
I mean, exactly.
Even like, even the Sonics with Kevin, like they were like this. They had like seventh best odds, I think, that year or eighth or something in that range, and they got up and they got Kevin. Changed everything. Changed the franchise.
Exactly. But these lottery, if you hit, if you get something in the top five, maybe something in the top three, and then maybe an extra bit of luck, then you're, it's not that you're all set, because we never know if these players will really become superstars. They have the potential to be, and you can clearly see that. So it's something that, again, can change the outlook of the next 2-3 years. And if OKC is lucky and they manage everything well around Shea and the guys that will draft and maybe some trade, then the future might be brighter sooner. That is how I look at these a lot. Because if you draft Scottie Barnes and or Kuminga, maybe next year you are in the same ballpark as you are now.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Scottie Barnes, but he's not the guy that will put you over the top immediately.
He's not worth 10 or 15 wins next year. He's maybe worth negative 2 wins next year, you know?
Yeah, which for a rookie is quite good. But I get what you mean. Yeah, and probably Cade is not worth 15 wins either. But if you pair his shot-making ability with the fact that Shea will be a better player, in my opinion, then OKC may be better and better sooner.
The thing about Cade, too, is... And I don't have my hopes up for the number one pick. But if the Thunder do get there, there aren't a ton of like number one pick guys. Like even like Zion Williamson right now, there's turmoil in New Orleans. Like he doesn't want to be there. Blah blah blah. Or at least his family members don't want him to be there. Already, we're in, like just finished year two. Yikes.
Yeah.
Cade is from Arlington, Texas, right? Like just a stone's throw from OKC. He went to Oklahoma State. Even after all the drama that they had, where they might not even be able to play in the tournament, he decided to commit there.
Yeah.
Like, he's just, if there was a star that would say, yeah, I'll commit to OKC for forever, like, he's kind of cut from that cloth where you could see it. Now,
Jalen Suggs, maybe.
The fit with Shea is ridiculous. Everything is ridiculous. And I just even struggle to speak about it at this point, to be honest. I struggle to, because... I don't want to get my hopes up, because I don't have, like, if the Thunder end up with 6 and 18, I don't think it's impossible that they trade to 4. You know, I don't think that that's an impossibility.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they're at 3 and 18, I think it's an impossibility to trade to 1. You know, I don't think that would happen.
Yes.
So no, I try the not number to get one my hopes pick up is
off the table. Yes.
Yeah.
The number
and,
2.
And also, like, Jalen Suggs. Like, Jalen Suggs might be the best player in this draft. Jalen Green might be the best player in this draft. Yeah. So you still can't even just say with certainty, like, oh, my gosh. Or they may be the guys that stick around. Russell Westbrook, the guy who went to UCLA, born in Los Angeles, was the guy who committed here. He's the one who stayed, you know.
And had OKC. Kevin Durant,
who was in D.C. and Texas. Yeah. I mean, it's just all, you know, you just don't know. Like, we don't know.
Yes.
I'm stressed out, and that's why I keep interrupting you, is because I'm stressed out.
I mean, yeah. You never know. You never know what would a career of a player look like. I mean, there are players that are drafted number one consensus, like Ben Simmons was. And they get all NBA grades. Like last year. And now I watched them refuse to dunk a basketball and to pass the ball to a man that was less open than him. That is something to me that I don't know what happened there. But I mean, everything can happen with a first round pick. And you need the reason why I'm saying this is because, tomorrow is where the luck plays his thing. But then it's up to you what you do with your first round pick. And OKC has a good track record. but they have to work. I mean, it's not that if they draft a kid, say, okay, we got it. No, no. Your clock is ticking from the second you make that pick.
Get busy. You need to be great. You better have a plan. Yep, you better have a plan. You better know who to put around these guys, and you better get going.
Exactly.
Because we've seen where it doesn't work. And you know what? I'm done with my crusade against the Hawks.
Are you?
I think I give up. I think after watching what I did last night, where it wasn't just Trey, it was everybody else, I give up. Kevin Herter's good. You know, go for it. They put the right guys around Trey.
Yeah.
I think Bogdanovich is good. I give up. I'm waving the white flag. I don't have a white flag. I have this black t-shirt. I'm waving the black t-shirt. I'm done, okay? Sorry, Hawks. Sorry I had the bad take, but I really did believe it, and I still kind of believe it, but I believe it. I used to believe it 100%. Now I believe it 10%. Like, all right, let's go, Hawks.
Yeah, and to on your defense, you don't need my defense, but I'm going to do it anyway. Like, all the other teams in the East are just disappearing. Like, they are destroying themselves. So it's not that the Hawks are not worthy of a conference finals, because they clearly are. They beat everyone who they faced, which is what you should do. But you can say that it's, unless Herter and the other young guys become better players than what they are now, Hunter, unless they do that, it's hard to see them being the Golden State Warriors 2.0.
No, they're not going to be a mega star team.
Well, but if they improve, there is a path. I mean, Trae Young can be a top five player in the league. Period.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's been part of my argument the whole time with Trae, is that, like, I believe in his abilities to get there, and that's why I would want him to have another running mate. Like, that's been like my whole argument the whole time, is like, Trae is that good. Like, Trae is that guy.
Yeah, and but the other guys are still young, and I don't know.
Yeah, Herter
played a very good game, and the most impressive thing to me was he played a few possessions defensively down the stretch.
Yep,
where he was helpful, he was effective on defense, and I mean, it's like they clicked. And they have very good veterans that will not take too many shots away from the young guys, that they will complement very well what they have. I mean, Bogdanovich is amazing. Gallo, we've seen him. I mean, Gallo is just the man. The play he made on Embiid was similar to the one that he made against Luka Doncic in one of the regular season game last year, where he hauled. And Gallo's like that. He may very well disappear in the Western Conference Finals, but he was there and he was effective against Philly. So yeah, I mean, it's good. It's good, and this shows us that there is no single way to greatness, and maybe getting good value for players, it's still okay. Like, they get they got enormous value for Capela. Enormous. They just paid a very good player in Bogdanovich. They paid Gallinari. They didn't have to pay anything in terms of assets. And those were all good players. Mm-hmm. And you need to make it work. Lloyd Pierce was not able to. But, I mean, those are tools that you can play with. And so, so yeah, maybe this is a lesson for us. There's not just one way. And maybe Atlanta will get a free agent because of that, because they are in a good market that can be a great market.
It's a great market. So, it is. It's a huge city. Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows what happens? Maybe there is a star that will see what is happening there and say, well, you know what? I would love to play with Trae Young. And there you have
Zion.
It. Your second. Maybe Zion. Maybe Zion says, well, I want to get there. And Atlanta has all the tools to make a trade like that. They didn't overcommit their future to do that.
They've got draft picks. They can send Cam Reddish.
Seven first round picks plus players. They can do that. Picks and swaps.
And they still have guys left.
Exactly. They have a competent roster.
You could send Bogdanovich. even.
Yeah, but you don't win. I really love Bogdanović more than.
I know. I'm just saying, but you could, and you could still have a great team.
Yes, yes, you may.
So, all right. Sorry, Hawks. I messed up. All right, let's take a spin on this lottery simulator on tankathon.com. So, whoops. If you're looking here, one day, 5 hours, 50 minutes, and 50 seconds until the lottery is announced.
Yeah, don't do it. What's your prediction?
I don't have a prediction. What are we predicting?
For this run. Not for tomorrow.
For this one right here?
Yes.
I have nothing. That's what I have. I have nothing in me to predict.
I predict 3 and 5.
I gotta let go. I have to completely let go. That's what I have to do.
The next one will be 3 and 5. Go ahead.
All right, here we go. Let's see. Nope. Too bad. 16 and 18 is where we're at today.
Yeah.
We have to remember it's 6, 16, and 18. And we'll talk about that trade here in a second. Another spin, 5, 16, and 18. Like, this is a reality here. Big slap in the face of reality.
Wow. 6 again.
6, 16, 18. It's hurt. It's hurtful. 5, 7, and 16. Not as bad. I think you would take that.
It's not bad.
No. Here's 5, 8, and 16. I haven't gotten that result. Hardly ever.
Yeah.
That one, that's like that is very, very unlikely to occur.
Yeah.
But it's wild, man. It's going to be, there's 5 and 8 again. Very, very unlikely. So just taking a look at just the odds one more time while it still matters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because after tomorrow night, this won't matter at all. This will all just be poof. To be gone.
Yeah.
So for the Rockets pick, remember it's 47.9% chance the Thunder receive that pick.
Yes.
So close, as close to a coin flip as you can get with this. So that's there. And then for OKC, 11.5% for number one, 11.4 for two, 11.2 for three, 11% for four. 7% for 5, 27% for 6, 18 for 7, 2% for 8. So they have good odds to land in the top 4, like total to land in the top 4. But then you've got a nice chunk sitting back here at 6 and 7 too.
Oh yeah.
And remember, if they do happen to fall here to 7, it's more than likely that will tie itself to 5. It's not guaranteed, but it will likely tie itself to 5. So if you see the Thunder draw at 7, odds are increased that this is also OKC's pick here. So don't flip out if they draw OKC at 7 or 8, especially at 8. 8 is like almost guaranteed.
I think it is guaranteed.
So if they draw 8, just know like, you get the Jonathan Kuminga, Scotty Barnes spot too.
Is that? I think it's because they need 4 players to jump them, 4 teams to jump them, which means that Houston is the 5th. Yeah, 5 and 8
is.
Yeah,
so it's not ideal. Obviously, you want to get a pick in the top 4. You want one of those 4 guys, even 5 guys. You want one of them. So. It's a stressful night. Stressful night for lots of teams. Stressful night for Minnesota Timberwolves, who would like to wind up in the top 3 as well. If they don't, they'll lose their pick to the Warriors. We have the Orlando Magic, even, who have a chance to get another lottery pick if the Bulls fall to 8 and 12, right?
Yeah.
So it's exciting times. This is going to be a very exciting lottery tomorrow. Again, come join us. Hang out with us during the lottery party. Let's get back out there, guys. Let's hang out again. Let's experience either the pure joy or the just madness that will ensue if they don't get one of these picks.
You know, after we, I know that we don't have, we cannot talk here too much about the draft. But since I watched Scotty Barnes, my life is better. Because I know that even if the consolation prize is Scotty Barnes, and I'm very, very, very positive about the fact that wherever OKC lands, they have enough to get Scotty Barnes if they want him.
Sure. And if that's the guy. That's the guy. Yes. Then sure.
But the fallback, like, to be able to draft a player like that, and I know that we watched Ben Simmons failed in the
playoffs. We sure did.
But I mean, I cannot shake the feeling that that guy would be a soul of a great team. And that's the
one thing about him that you love, right? Like, that's, if you're going to take, obviously, like, he's got, for his size, like the skill level, all that stuff, but he will be the heart and soul of the team.
Yeah.
You know, like, he will take all of that on, and he will be that. And he will be making plays in crucial moments just because he likes to get in the mix. And he's going to be a vocal presence. He'll be a fan favorite. It will be, and we can transition to Ben Simmons here in a second, but it will be terrible to root for a guy that doesn't shoot it, though. That will be the terrible thing.
He wants to shoot
it.
He will not be able to.
Right. Maybe that's the line of delineation right there. Okay, before we talk Ben Simmons, before we talk Kemba Walker trade, which Kemba Walker's on the Thunder?
Yay!
Like, weird. That's so weird. What a weird, weird world that we're living in. Let's go over to the stream. We have Daniel Tomasi says, "What's on, boys?" from the UK. Paul Gray says, "Loading up on some Benadryl. See y'all on lottery day." Oh, Tyler Field says, "May the balls be in our favor, gentlemen." Falk says, "Ayo," in Denmark. Let's see. Chad Scott in UConn. We have Steven in Maryland. JD Brown says, "One more day." Miroslav, who's in Germany, says he's so nervous. Hoopstock 69, his heart's been racing all day. Man, we need to send a lot of people to urgent care. Let's see. I guess I said this. "Okay, see you later" to my son on draft night, or on draft eve, or lottery eve, sorry. Let's see. Hello from Tulsa, from Clinton Fowler. Alex Bullerjack, my buddy. "What's up, man? Thanks for joining the stream." T, who is in Miami, is here with us. Fetty, let's see. He's giving some cheese advice to you, Michele. He says, "Next time you go to Oklahoma City, take some Aperol and some..."
This is the drink I discussed with you, Michele. Last week. Was it last week? The Spritz?
The Spritz was last week. Yeah,
yes,
for sure.
Yes.
Dan Mayan is in Rhode Island. Let's see. Michael Clampett is an angry Texan. Oh, angry Texan is the goat mule sandwich. Oh, okay, sorry. I don't know that I've had that one, Michael Clampett. Let's see. Josh is in Kenilworth in the UK. We have Tyler Carroll, our resident lottery expert here, who's saying, "Let's go 1-5. Thanks for joining the show. Thanks
for jinxing
in Omaha.
Tyler.
Yeah, right. thanks for the jinx. We have lots of people here today. What's up from Orlando? Kyle Clark. Robert Whitrock is at St. John Hospital. Thanks for joining, Rob. Jay Smith, our guy Jay Smith. What's up, dudes? What's up, Jay? Thanks for joining. I think that's where we'll stop. Thank you so much for everybody for being here. Hooper's Heaven in Toronto. Big Kalachi in Houston. Eric Mai from Denver. Max Weston once Cade. Ethan Salter in Athens, Georgia. Athens, Georgia. Nice. I've been there. Nice place. All right. We'll take a quick break. And right when we come back, we're going to talk Kemba Walker. We're going to talk Ben Simmons. It's just, the NBA is a wild place. And the Thunder are just somehow have to be in the thick of it every single time.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And we're back from the quick break. Mikele, the Thunder made a trade on Friday. I was just trying to go to the gym. I'm just trying to go work out. My wife and I go to this cycling class together on Friday mornings after the fry pod. My kids go into the childcare. It's great. It's our Friday routine. I park my vehicle right in front of the YMCA, getting ready to walk in. Boom, Woj bomb. The Thunder have traded for Kemba Walker. They get the 16th pick in this draft. They get a very favorable second round pick, and then they send back a very unfavorable second round pick, along with Al Horford and Moses Brown.
No.
No, Moses. What are your thoughts on this deal? What was your original just thought when this madness hit?
So we in the group chat, as Alex said in the live reaction podcast, we discussed exactly that trade, and we were, well, why is Boston doing that? They surely want to do better.
But they wanted to do better with their giant trade exception too, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it's and I also read like pieces. Jared Weiss in The Athletic said this. He wrote a great piece on Kemba, but the idea was, well, now they can re-sign Fournier. Yeah. You have to do it, but is it what you want? Like, I don't know. And if the idea is to play Horford at the four, please don't do it. If you want to play him, like you play the Time Lord 2025 and you play Horford 2025, and depending on the matchup you close with either, then it's fine. But please don't use him as a four with a non-shooting five, because those two guys, they need all the space they can. And please don't do that, Boston.
I know.
On the return, again, we were discussing it straight up, saying, well, yeah, you get away Horford, you get a small asset, and you get in Kemba, which has a worse contract, but for sure, he's the better player in the trade. And so you may want to re-up his value. Just a few questions to you, since I'm watching can you say from the top of your head how many points per possession Kemba had over the last season in spot-up situations? So above 1.10, between 1 and 1.10, below 1.
Between 1 and 1.10?
1.22. That is 88% in the league.
So I'll say this with Kemba. It's not really even been about his performance, because he was pretty good for the Celtics down the stretch. It's been about availability. It's about the knee.
I don't care.
And then it was about the relationship.
No. Let's forget about the Boston part. Let's focus on OKC and what they got. They got a player that is 1 year removed from being an all-star, a deserving one.
Yeah.
Starting. That doesn't have a track record of being a player that never plays a full season.
Yeah.
I mean, it's I don't want to say something that is wrong, but I don't think he had many bad seasons. He had some. Let me check.
So, yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
He was 66 games his rookie season, which was 11-12, which is lockout year.
Mm-hmm.
82 games, second year, 73, 62, 81, 79, 80, 82, his last season in Charlotte. He played all 82 games. And then first season in Boston, 56. This last season, 43.
Yeah, so the last 2 years, the track record is not great, which is clearly important. But for a team like OKC, who will, in any case, will not be pushed to play him hard. They can play mm-hmm. him 20 minutes. They can sit in back-to-backs. Yep. They can manage him. And they have shown to be able to manage players. This is a very important trade. I think that maybe he will never even touch base in OKC. That can happen because if someone else becomes available and they want Kemba for some reason, mainly the reason that I was just discussing, like another stat, can you, like in pick and roll, he is still above average. In transition, he put 1.3 point per possessions. So these are not bad numbers. So I really think that the reclamation project is there. Granted, you need to have luck. But the downside of this trade for OKC is zero. I mean, there is no downside. What happens if he doesn't play? Who cares? You have insurance.
Doesn't matter.
It's not even a money question. Like, yes, mm-hmm. you cannot spend those money, but if the player cannot play, there are insurance that covers you. So to me, like, when I read on Twitter, and I will go on a not very short run here, I read on Twitter, well, look, Presti, they will never be able to use. What is he even trying to do? Like, mm-hmm. you need to focus on every single move that he made and ask yourself, was this a bad move at that point in time? Yeah. And the answer is always no. Like, it was the right move to trade Russell Westbrook. It was the right move to trade CP3. It was the perfect move to trade Dennis Schroeder. It was the perfect move to trade both Danny Green and maybe Danny Green is the only one who can say, you really want Horford? But then, look at now. You need another first-round pick. Yeah, and you can say that development-wise, having a savvy veteran player on your roster that can teach Shea how to play in space compared mm-hmm. to Danny Green, who is strictly a spot-up shooter and a great defender, then he may, like Horford, may have been more helpful. So every single move, and in the process that is good for your present, you're building for the future. How this can be bad? How? Like, I don't believe for a second in the, well, you will overpay because they will just ask for all your... Yeah, that's they
the
may.
Dumbest, that's the dumbest reason.
Yeah.
It's just not... That doesn't make sense because those teams that will be trading those players want the asset, right? And the mm-hmm. asset being picks. They want the picks. But they're not going to sit back and say, well, Presti could give us more, so we'll accept less picks or we'll accept the same amount of picks from somebody else or whatever.
Exactly.
Listen, Sam Presti makes more trades than just about any other GM in the league. And just because he has assets, it hasn't stopped other teams from making deals with him. Like, Golden State didn't think, like, well, you know, we don't want to take on Kelly Oubre because Sam has all these picks. And we don't want to, like, no, like, that's stupid. Like, that's ridiculous. It didn't happen with George Hill. Like, the Sixers didn't sit back and say, well, they have too many picks. We don't want to make this deal with them. No, they got 2 second-round picks for George Hill. You know, they're continuing to make deals. They just made a trade for Kemba, and people are just overthinking it, and they're trying to be smart. And this is just one of the diseases of Twitter, right? Is that everybody feels like they have to have a take. Everybody feels like they have to be smart. And
but I was surprised by who said this. Like, there were national media people saying this.
Yeah,
not like regular dudes.
There are national media guys, ones that I respect, ones that are smart, that have been in the league forever, that don't believe that this is the right strategy. There are lots and lots of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's not uncommon, but the people that are just overthinking it are just a little ridiculous. Like, it's just, and let it play out too. Sure, there is no there's no guarantee that this will work at all. There's no guarantee.
Yeah, but can I ask you a question then? What is the real alternative? Like they're saying, we'll run it back with Chris Paul. Is it even possible to take a look at what the goals are?
Yeah, what are the goals of the organization though?
No, but even say that it's like losing on purpose is something bad, and you know you don't want to do that. No, you say, well, you have to run it back because you have something there. Are you sure that those 15 guys were up to that? Because if you are, to me, like the day after the last game in the bubble, CP3 made a video saying, "Thank you, OKC, I'm out." Like, like, are people watching this? Understand it? There was no chance to run it back. Zero. Like, the only option was to try to replenish, refurbishing, whatever, reinventing the roster.
Replenish, yeah.
Like,
well, but also, like, there wasn't the chance for that, also because it was the plan.
Yes.
It was the plan all along.
Yeah, but suppose that there is no plan. I don't think that the same players would be on board for another season like that.
Yeah, can you bring Gallo back?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Maybe with a huge overpay. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. Like, with the goals in mind that they have, they're doing the best thing for themselves.
Yeah.
With the goals that they have presented, that you couldn't do much better than where they are today. Now, tomorrow night we'll know even more, right? With how well this is working, if they wind up with number one, like wow, like the plan looks 1,000 times better. If they wind up with 7 and 16 and 18, wow, the plan doesn't look quite as good. But listen, the reason you do this, the reason you trade for the 16th pick in this draft, is to like insulate yourself a little bit from that 7th pick being the only one that conveys in the top 5, right? I mean, that's the reason for it. And now, perhaps you can trade up from 16 and 18 up to 10, and then you have 7 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
That's a much better situation than you were in before.
Yeah.
Good question here from
Spencer Smith.
Did you read that? Did you read the Cade article from San Vicini? So he wrote an article just based upon the best landing spots for Cade. I thought it was spot on. Like, number one is Toronto, which makes just so much sense. They were just lacking the true number one guy that they had during their finals run. And Cade can be that. It's a tremendous fit. The next is Golden State Warriors.
Because, of course, you want an extra shooter alongside.
And it would be with their own pick, not with the Minnesota pick.
Yes, they cannot get it. Yes.
Got crazy lucky, so keep that in mind. And then three, he had OKC.
Yeah.
Which I thought was, you know, and as somebody who has followed this team since their inception, has read almost everything about them, that has seen everything, I just didn't really expect OKC to be that far up. Now, do I believe that they are perhaps the second or third best destination for him? Absolutely, I do. But I also have to know, like, I cover this team, I know the ins and outs, I know everything they're doing, and I'm biased. Like, I'm absolutely biased toward this city, this franchise, 100% biased. And so part of me was very shocked that San Vicini put them as the third best destination. Now, when he puts together the argument that Cade and Shea is a great fit, you already have a guy that's all-star type of level guard to pair alongside him. You have Poku.
He said All-NBA. He said All-NBA for Shea, which is...
He did. Which, good, because we've been kind of talking about that this whole offseason, that he's got the chance to be a top 15 guy in the NBA. And then he mentions Poku pretty quick as well.
Yeah, I mean, Sam loves Pokuševski. He really does.
Yeah, he does. And he does. Go back and listen to the pod that I did with him several weeks ago.
But it's right. Yeah. I mean, the doubt and the downside of a Pokuševski career are still there. I mean, you can see him failing next year, but just being wild.
No question.
But if flashes are more consistent, just a tad more consistent, we are talking about a useful player in year two. And again, I was listening to, sorry for this little digression.
That's okay.
I was listening to Matt Penny and Sam talking about the tournament, the combined, the G League combined and the official one. And they were talking about old guys. And Penny said something that is really important in regards of Pokuševski. He said, well, this 24 years old guy was very, very good in college. But then I stop and think, well, this 21 years old guy, how will he be in 3 years in college?
Yeah.
And Pokuševski is as young as many prospects in this draft. And if you suppose that you've seen the flashes of Pokuševski, I mean, and see the flashes of Kuminga, you see a lot of lows in Kuminga's play and a lot of highs in Kuminga. Like, why are we not thinking about Pokuševski as a top 10 pick in this year draft? This is what Pokuševski is for OKC. Because last year was basically development. It was not a season for him in OKC. Mm-hmm. But now, next year, he can be our top 10 pick of this season. And I mean, there's a lot to be excited.
If you rethink it, if you rethink it, like the Porzingis pick, right? Where Porzingis the year before goes in the 17 to 25 range, right?
Yeah. And next year,
having a year of development, all of number four. Where would Poku be in this draft had he played up a level in Europe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Flashed and showcased everything that he did in like the second half of this season, where he's making threes off the dribble, he's driving the lane, he's playing tough defense, he's making crazy passes. I think that you could make the argument that he could be in the Jonathan Kuminga range, where you're like, oh my gosh, his size, his abilities, like he could be there. Would you,
between 5 and 10, versus, I would say.
Yeah, where would he be versus Scottie Barnes? Because he's got more of a scoring game than Scottie does at this point. You know, I mean, like it's a great point because I don't think a ton of people think so much about Poku with regards to this rebuild. I know that Oklahoma City fans do, and now Sam Vecenie does, and that's great. And I'm glad, like, Sam is like so plugged in, and he actually watches everything. Like, he actually watched the Thunder, as opposed to so many people that evaluated this Kemba Walker trade on Friday that talked about Moses Brown being as good as a 16th pick. Like, get out of here with that take. Like, that's a garbage take.
Yeah.
He'd be the equivalent of the 16th pick if the 16th pick busted out of the league in 2 years. Absolutely. Cool. But get out of here with that take. That's a bad, bad take.
Pick. Something like that.
Yes, exactly. If the 16th pick is the Justin Patton equivalent, boom, you nailed it.
Mm-mm.
But Poku is a huge part of this rebuild. He's a big part of the ceiling of this team in this rebuild, because especially if the rebuild includes Shea. If the rebuild is going to include Shea, it means we've got to take off here quick. Because there's not a ton of time. There's no time to do a Sixers type rebuild. They don't have the luxury of that. And obviously it's not a luxury, but they don't have the luxury of playing around with three or four different lotteries.
Yeah.
Now, or at least top five lotteries where you're one of the worst teams. They don't have time for that because Shea is too good.
Shea is too good. Yes.
Poku is a huge part of it, because if Poku can come back and is like, oh my gosh, Alexei Pokuševski is averaging 15-7-3
and he's 37% shooting.
Yeah, I was gonna say 37% from 3, 46% overall.
Wow.
Like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Like, something has happened here. Yeah. He's really developed. And that would be incredibly important to this team. It would really, to me, make the difference for this team and what they look like in 2 years. And obviously this draft lottery is just as big. I think that we sometimes need to remember, like, we have Poku in our back pocket when it comes to development.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to talk Ben Simmons? You want to talk about guys that are afraid to dunk? Who, yes. Somebody who's not down to dunk at all?
He was not about to dunk on that play.
Not about to dunk. Yeah. He's not down to dunk. He's not about to dunk. He's nothing.
But I feel...
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I feel there's something there still.
In where?
In Ben. I think he is completely miscast as a player in Philadelphia. They are not running anything with him. Like, he's just the guy who takes the ball and dribbles it after midcourt, and then there's pick and roll with someone else. I don't think that this is the best way to use a guy that cannot shoot. The guy who can shoot needs to be in every single action, either screening. They just do this. He goes, dribbles, then arrives at the top of the key, and then moves to the dunker spot. That's it. What are you doing? Like, it's almost using, like, Ben Simmons is not Giannis Antetokounmpo, because he is not. But he has the potential to do a lot of stuff that Giannis does. He is a great defender. He's better at defense than Giannis is. He could lock down, try to lock down KD. He was guarding.
He's a great, great one-on-one defender.
Exactly.
Where Giannis is more of like this, like, giant free safety.
Exactly. Yes. But he is a very, very, very good passer. He can hit everything with a pass. Ben Simmons can. I don't know why. Probably it's because of the way in which they want to utilize Embiid. But if you don't have Embiid and you have just Ben Simmons and you say, man, we don't care about the free throws. We absolutely don't care. We don't care about how many touch you miss. We just want you to be in every single screening action, either as a ball handler or as a screener. We don't care. We don't want to see you like still for one split of a second. You just have to move around, set screen, be mean with other guys. Like, just be everywhere. This is the way in which you want to utilize Ben Simmons. And once I see that, and once I see that failing, then I can see, well, there's something off. Because I cannot shake from my head the fact that he's a super talented guy that can do many things if asked. Of course, if you want to play through Embiid, then playing between Simmons and Embiid, it's difficult. But imagine Ben Simmons as the center for OKC, which is the same philosophy as of having Scottie Barnes there. It's not very different. With Pokuševski, with Cade Cunningham, like, you have all the shooting, and then Ben Simmons, who can do everything. It's not dissimilar from Draymond Green.
If they had the number one pick, then I would say, all right, if he truly is available, which we don't even know if that's the case. Everybody kind of believes that it will be.
It will be.
Then, yeah, go get him. Because then, if you have Shea, Cade, maybe Dort has to go in the trade. Poku, I don't know what the trade would even look like. I don't know. I don't know that I wouldn't give up a ton for him.
Kemba and picks.
Depends on what the picks are. Depends on how many, certainly. Man, what a disappointment, though, if you're Philly. But also remember, Kemba's 31. Kemba's not 36.
No, he's not.
So if Kemba can get right, which is not a guarantee, I get it. It's a mess. It's a huge mess in Philly. But if the Thunder drew 7 and 16-18, then I don't know if I want Ben Simmons. But if Ben Simmons is for sure my third best player, like, okay, that's fine. And I also would love to see the situation with Ben, because with Philly, it's been, okay, Ben, you're already good, great. Like, we have to win playoff games now, or else you're worthless. You know, like, you have to perform in the fourth quarter of a game 7 in the playoffs, or else you're worthless to us. And he was. Like, he just straight up was. I think they may have done better had he sat. Now, rewind, throw him onto this team where it's just like, you know what? Because this is the way the Thunder will start next season, no matter what. Ben Simmons here, Ben Simmons not. Doesn't matter. It's going to be, okay, we know we have these talented players. We know we have some of these younger guys. We don't really know what we have in them. Mm-hmm. Is Vit Krejci here? I don't know. Who cares? Listen, we don't know what we have. Like, we don't know what's here.
Yeah.
But what things that we do know, number one, we know we have a culture of building and learning, right? We have a coaching staff that is maybe even overly committed to development.
Mm-hmm.
Like to just a crazy level where they could bring Ben Simmons back in, like, hey man, like, listen, we don't know what your experiences were directly in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. but here's what we have planned for you.
Yeah.
And it's basically like hit like the stop and rewind button for him, right? And let's go back. Like, let's try to take some of this back and move forward a little bit. And see what he can be. Now, there's a tremendous amount of talent there, but there's also a tremendous amount of damage that was done in this particular playoff run.
Yeah.
There are players who have their careers, not just their careers with a particular team, but their entire careers ruined because of things like what just happened with Ben.
Yes.
Like, we've seen it a lot in the league. Good, high profile, solid players all over the league through the years. That dunk moment,
mm-hmm.
where he hesitates and throws it to another guy that is perhaps a worse scorer than he is.
Well, it's time.
Who is being guarded. Yes. That moment could be his breaking point moment where everything just completely breaks.
Yes.
Right? Like, that could be it. And then I don't care if it's Kemba and nothing. I don't want him. I don't want him on the team.
The commitment is
huge. The fact is,
the salary commitment is huge.
He carries the salary's huge.
Yeah.
The personality, the internal, not even necessarily the external personality, but the internal personality mm-hmm. is big.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something to deal with.
Yes.
And if that series broke him, I don't want him. I don't want him here. Now, if he could come here, and you could basically take, if he's like a misbuilt Lego set, like, you can take the Lego set apart and try again. If that's possible, then perhaps, you 100% do it. Even if it's Kemba, Dort, two firsts, you do it. Because this is the number one pick in the draft, the former number one pick in the draft. You do it. But I don't know. I know so little about the situation internally
mm-hmm.
to be able to say whether it's one thing or the other. But it's probably somewhere in the middle, right? It's got to be somewhere in the middle. And in the middle, I don't know. I definitely would not give up Kemba, Dort, and two good firsts for him if it's in the middle. It's I think I'd rather just build more internally, more of a natural rebuild, and then find like a trade that actually like fits.
Yeah.
Like with these guys. I think that I would rather wait for it, because I don't, especially if you add another big time ball handler, mm-hmm. if you add Suggs or Cade or somebody like that, even Jalen Green, who's like gonna need the ball. I just don't know that I would do that. Cause the dream with Ben Simmons is, oh, he just becomes Draymond Green. Right.
I think it can be better.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, that role.
Yes.
Like, that's his role.
The point is the demeanor is not there. And
exactly.
And that is something that is the only thing that, like, if you listen 5 minutes of talking between Mike Schmitz and Scotty Barnes, it's hilarious how confident that guy is. It's just saying, well, what do you do there? Well, I just destroy with my strength, take away everything with my great hands, and I will be just more powerful than him, and I will destroy him. it's all like this, and it's and it goes on and say, well, I'm just prideful. You will not score on me. It is you want that with Ben Simmons. That part, I don't know where it is. I don't know if
he's too cool. He's too cool.
Yeah, maybe so. And if that is what you're worried about, then I can see that. It's not that I want to see him doing all these things in OKC. What I'm saying today is, yes, he played horrifically bad against Atlanta. But was put in a terrible situation from his coach. Because if you, and this is going on in the playoffs since he's there. It's only, and I remember Zach Lowe discussing this and deem it as madness to just have Ben Simmons taking the ball and then go to the dunker spot. That is not how you want to use Ben Simmons. Just put him into some flare, like into some flare action or off ball action, whatever. Like free up Seth Curry with some off balls. Can do something. Just not stay there. It's awful. It's terrible.
It shows no trust. It shows like that Doc Rivers has zero trust.
Yeah.
In Ben Simmons.
Exactly.
He has no, like, does not believe in him, does not trust him, does not trust him to have the ball. But then there's also the Ben Simmons factor too. It's not just his coaching. It's
And Tyler Fields,
when he has the chance.
Yeah.
When he has the chance, he won't do it.
Yes, but Tyler Fields says they used him like we use Robertson. No! No, when we use Robertson in the wrong way, like parking him in the corner, that was madness.
Yeah.
But there was a moment when that Carmelo was here where Robertson was in every single action. And that...
screening,
exactly,
rolling, cutting, yes.
In that moment, you could unlock everything because he was a great defender with no passing.
Go back and watch that Detroit game. They had everything unlocked. Everything had
exactly.
been unlocked.
Or look at the games between December the 20th to January the 15th, whatever, between the Detroit accident up to, well, back to November the 20th. That was the moment where, like, Dre really unlocked his full potential as part of a team construction. And OKC had just another non-shooter. Imagine if you have just one non-shooter on court. Again, it has not. It's like
that's also the thing. That's all you can have in this league.
Yeah,
that's it. It's too hard. The Sixers couldn't beat the Hawks, and the Hawks, we talked about them earlier. They've been good.
Yeah,
it's great. They should not have lost to that team.
No.
That should have never happened. Part of it was Ben Simmons.
It is. It is
true.
Part
of it was they're playing Ben and Matisse at the same time. And I love independently. I love them both. I love Matisse Thybulle. I think that guy's great. There are very, very few defenders that can do what he can do. But when you play them both together, Atlanta can say, we know Ben Simmons isn't even going to dunk the ball when he's 2 feet from the rim.
That is crazy.
It doesn't matter. Don't guard him. Don't worry about him. And if he is 2 feet from the rim, just make sure you're in the vicinity, and he may not even take the shot.
That is crazy.
So who cares? We just need to make sure that Seth Curry and Joel Embiid don't kill us, right? And Tobias Harris. That's it. It was a disaster. It was a disaster. It was a horrifically coached game. It was a horrifically coached team. And it was also Ben Simmons' head case series.
Yeah. I want to see him in Portland so that Dame can resurrect him and we can all have back our
That'd be great. Talent. That'd be great.
Yeah, they have a trade right there that makes sense, and I think that. But anyway, we're going too far down this rabbit hole.
We are. But it's fun, man. It's fun. Yeah. I'm excited for the lottery tomorrow. Please come hang out with us, 16 South Broadway in Edmond, Oklahoma. We will do a live podcast afterwards. So after the lottery, stick around. Again, if it is too full when you arrive, you can order food to go and you go over to Frenzy, which is across the street. And I think it'll be a great time. And then we can again try to kind of crowd into the mule whenever the live pod starts. So, anyways, hope you guys have a great rest of your Monday. And we will talk to you guys again tomorrow night, or perhaps even see you tomorrow night. Thanks again.